You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on hoopfeed.com. And, you know, at least once a year, we like to spend a little bit of time not focused on just the BCS schools, those big ones that seem to get all the headlines. And, you know, you need to understand that there is some seriously good basketball being played at the mid-major level, and one of those teams that's playing so well is Middle Tennessee State in Conference USA this year. And their star is Ebony Rowe, who has made the Naismith Award Top 30 watch list. She has set all kinds of records, and as you will find out, she is the epitome of a student-athlete. And I'm pleased to welcome Ebony to Dishin' and Swishin'. How are you?
Thank you. Good. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So let's start with the stuff on the court. I mean, Middle Tennessee State is off to a fantastic season, 21-4 overall, 10-1 in conference. You know, senior year, you guys have taken it seriously, haven't you?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, we really wanted to leave our legacy this year, and I think the seniors, myself and the other five seniors, have provided great leadership and really getting the girls focused this year.
Well, you know, one thing that you can certainly say is that you are a record setter, because you own like 9 records at the school now, and certainly the one that has just recently come up is the all-time leading scorer in the school, in addition to your rebounding prowess. So of all of these records that you've earned, which one means the most to you?
Honestly, I can't even really give you an answer to that question. I would have to say probably the leading scorer, but not for the reason most people would think, mainly just because it was a team accomplishment. And anyone who's watched us play, they see how our system works and our style of play. And although I'm finishing the play, it's a team effort. And I kind of felt like that award belonged to all of us. And it was just such a great atmosphere when I received that award. And it was just like everyone received that award together. So it was a great feeling.
And Alicia Clark didn't trip you as you went towards the basket for the record breaker.
She did not. She did not. She's been the biggest supporter, and just, I mean, who wouldn't want a WNBA star as their coach, you know? So she's been awesome.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite people in the WNBA, too. She's always got a smile on her face, which is something that you got to love about Alicia. And anybody that's playing this game, you have to have a smile on your face, and you always seem to have that. Now, But inside, you know, the smile may be on the face, but you're doing the dirty work. You know, absolutely, those rebounds just seem to come to you in bunches, and you're averaging, a double-double this year.
Well, you know, I feel like I've always been taught, and my coach has really harped on the fact that sometimes you're just not going to have a good night. You may not be shooting well, maybe can't hit a shot, can't hit a free throw, but I feel like rebounding and defense are two things that you can always do. So I think myself and my team, we really pride ourselves in those aspects.
Now, the team has done very well in conference. They've taken care of business for the most part. But, you know, we're heading into the home stretch now. There's 5 games to go. And, you know, there's still 3 or 4 teams that could catch you in the in Conference USA. You've got 1 loss. They've got 2. And I noticed that, 2 of them, Tulane and East Carolina, are the last 2 road games that you have on the season.
Definitely. You know, it's what we've been prepared for this whole year. You know, coach really prepares us to go on the road, and he says championship teams win on the road. And we have pulled out some tough, tough ones on the road this year, and I think that's prepared us for these last few games. The girls are really focused, and we've really amped it up at practice, gotten after it the last couple of days. So I think we're excited to finish out this regular season really strong.
You know, and for people that may not be aware, you know, those games include wins at Clemson, wins most impressively at Miami, and at Louisiana Tech, to just name a couple of them. And you guys, took care of business against a very tough UTEP team as well.
Yes, sir. We've had a really challenging season, and we do every year. I know you mentioned earlier great mid-major competition, but around here, if you even use that word, Coach Entz will, you know, give you a mean look, just because he's really trying to move this program into the next level, which is why we play the Tennessees and the UKs and, you know, the high-caliber, well-known teams, because we feel like we can compete on that level, and we have been.
Absolutely. And, you know, Coach Insel is just one of a bunch of coaches that would be mad at me if I said that. But but I'm used to it by this
okay,
point.
Okay, I won't tell.
Well, you know, you guys are certainly, you know, cruising towards an NCAA tournament berth. You know, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit there, and I know you're going to give me the "we always take one game at a time" answer that everybody always does. But how exciting as a senior would it be to make a nice run in the tournament and go out in style?
You know, surprisingly, we talk about the NCAA tournament before the first game even happens.
Really?
And we always focus one game at a time, but before every game, we say this is the game that's going to get us closer to that good seed we need in the tournament. And so I think we focus one game at a time, but we always keep our eye on that prize. And, you know, we've made it into the tournament since I've been here for my last 3 years, and so we're kind of tired of just making it. We know we can make it. Now we want to really make a run and get deep in the tournament. So it's exciting, especially my last year, to really have that good attitude, you know, going into that tournament.
You know, the school has certainly put out some WNBA talent, and there's always a lot of outstanding college ball being played at Middle Tennessee. One thing that it doesn't happen all the time, though, is being listed with, you know, the Breanna Stewarts and Chinea Gwumakes and all on that Naismith list. So how exciting was it for everybody to see you on that top 30 list?
It was just such an honor, just a blessing and an honor. These girls are so talented, you know, haven't gotten a chance to play against all of them, of course, but just watching them play on TV and just great competition in the women's game. So just to be mentioned in the same breath as a lot of those girls is just a huge honor, and I'm just really blessed and thankful.
You know, one of the more fun games at the start of each season is when you guys play Tennessee, because you guys have proven that you can beat them, and you're always competitive, and it's always a very competitive game. When you play that game, just talk for a second, you know, being an interstate rivalry, give a little hint to our listeners as to what it's like when you're playing against them.
Oh, man, it's the game that as a young girl you just want to be in, you know, that game that you just live for college basketball. And we had a packed house here, I don't know, maybe 13,000 people, 12,000 people. We had a big splash of orange, which I didn't really appreciate, but we had an even bigger splash of blue, and the atmosphere is just crazy. You know, you can barely hear anything, and it's one of those every point matters, diving on the floor. You know, it was a great game. It was a great game. Obviously, I wish we would have came out on top, but as a first game of the season, especially for our freshmen, it was such a good atmosphere for them to play in, which prepares them for those tough atmospheres you're going to play later on in postseason.
One thing that seems pretty clear in listening to your answers to some of these things is that you take your legacy seriously, and not just in the record books, but it's pretty clear that, you know, you enjoy being a leader and that you really expect the underclassmen to carry this ball with them once you graduate.
Definitely. You know, basketball is just a game, and that's what I've always been taught. And at the end of the day, my dad's always told me, you know, no one's going to care about the awards or any of that things. All they're going to care about is, did you change things while you were there? Did you make an impact? You know, were you an impact person? And I feel like that's part of your legacy. You want to leave something behind. And Coach Insel and these other coaches have worked so hard with this program to get it to the level it's at. And I feel confident that after I leave, the freshmen coming behind me and the underclassmen are going to continue to grow it. And I'm just so excited to be able to sit back and watch where they take this program.
Well, you know, you mentioned that it's more than just basketball, and that gives me the perfect opportunity to segue into something else that, you know, I'm amazed at. And that is the academic prowess that you're showing. Now, you are a physics major?
Correct.
Right, that right there, you already have got me blown out of the water. but also, I understand that your GPA is extremely solid at over 3.6, and that you have some pretty high aspirations with that.
I do. Like you said, I'm a physics major with a minor in engineering technology and business administration, and so I hope to go to grad school and get my master's in mechanical engineering, and it kind of runs in the family. So my sister's an engineer, my dad's an engineer, so one day I want to go into business with my sister.
And there's so many different facets of engineering, different genres. Is there a particular area that you see yourself working in?
Well, my major is going to be mechanical engineering, just because that's honestly, you can take that so many directions. I didn't want to get too specialized because, as you might have figured out, I like to be all over the place and do a lot of different things. And so I really just want to keep my options open and explore the different possibilities that I can do with that degree.
So now, as you come and head towards senior night, what would be one thing that you would want our listeners to know about Middle Tennessee State and know about Ebony Rowe as you near the end of your college career?
I would want them to know that we are playing great basketball here. The atmosphere is so amazing. When I say we have some of the best fans in the country, we pack this house day in and day out. And you don't see that in women's basketball, which I wish you would see it more. It's just a great family atmosphere here, and there's a lot of girls that just want to work hard. And so I just encourage people to, you know, watch our games and come out to the games if you're close by and really keep up with us, because, mark my words, this team is going places. In the next few years, you're going to mention these teams as my team is one of the top teams in the country.
Now, how is it playing in the different conference this year?
It's so exciting. You know, for 3 years, the Sun Belt was great, and I loved it, but it's nice to go to different places and experience different teams and different players. You know, Conference USA is a tough conference this year. There are no gimme teams at all. A team at the bottom of the conference will knock off a top team any given night. And so I like that. You know, no one wants to just play mediocre talent, and I think there's great talent in this conference.
Now, as we're nearing the end also of the Play for K weeks that have been going on throughout the country. And, you know, my understanding is the Middle Tennessee State, as you mentioned, as you guys tend to pack the house, did a great job in their Pink Day as well.
Oh, yeah. It was a fantastic crowd. Everyone came out. And all the players, we all had family members and friends. I had my granny, who is a breast cancer survivor, and then my best friend lost her mother to cancer. They walked out with us for the national anthem, and we gave them roses, and it was kind of emotional, you know. And like I said, that's the atmosphere here. It's all about family and togetherness, and we are so close to our fans, and they always come out and support us. So we raised a lot of money, and it was a great game.
Well, that's the best part, is raising awareness and raising the money. And you know, I'm glad it was a great game as well, but you know, I'm glad for the initiative and what it's done, that's for sure.
Definitely.
So now we're headed, like I said, we're headed down the stretch, and now the WNBA could be calling soon. What are your thoughts about a potential career in the WNBA?
At this stage, I'm still really undecided. You know, I look forward, if I get that opportunity, to exploring that opportunity. Who wouldn't? You know, it's exciting, and there's so many great players, and just being able to watch them to even be considered to maybe get drafted is an accomplishment for myself in itself. But I haven't made any rash decisions yet. You know, I just kind of just want to take every game a game at a time and see what happens. And if I get that call or get that offer, it'll definitely be something I'll sit down with my family and talk about and go from there.
How about playing overseas if the WNBA doesn't work out? Are you ready to go cold turkey and just continue on with the education?
I don't know, and I've considered overseas as well. I mean, and that's honestly the million-dollar question. I probably get that question once a day because, you know, I know my education's always going to be there. My career's always going to be there, but I do love playing basketball, and if I get that opportunity to play afterwards, it'd be really hard to turn down. So,
well, like you said, with Alicia being there, you certainly have someone who knows the experience of going overseas to improve their game before coming back and getting a job in the WNBA. A great role
right.
model for that type of atmosphere.
She's been perfect, and we talk all the time about my future and basketball and what I want to do. And like you said, it's just great having someone who knows exactly how you're feeling. She's been in your shoes here, and she's played at the next level, so she knows what I need to do if I do want to get to that next level.
Well, Ebony, I just call it a hunch, but you are going to be extremely successful at whatever you want to do.
You
know, you're absolutely just what Russell from the school said you were going to be. You know, you are the epitome of a student athlete. And thank you for taking time to be with us and tell us your story today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
good luck the rest of the way. Enjoy senior night, and let's see you in the NCAA tournament.
Yes, sir. I'll be there. Thank you.
Hey, it's Janaeva McKay, your favorite nerd on the West Coast, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, this is David Siegel, and you are listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on Hoop Feed each week. And we're talking mid-major basketball, and we're talking about some of the players that you may not get a chance to see that often on national television, but you really need to know, because they are some of the very best in the country. And one of those is on the line with me right now. I'm pleased to welcome Central Michigan's Crystal Bradford to the podcast. Crystal, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Let's talk first of all about the conference, and, you know, congratulations on basically locking up the west side of the MAC conference, something that's never been done by the team.
Yes, it's a great honor. I'm really excited for me as well as the team to do something that's never been done. So I'm just trying to keep on making history.
Well, you have definitely been leading the way for this team. I mean, the stats are ridiculous. In the conference, you're number three in scoring. You're a guard that's leading the conference in rebounding. You're fifth in assists, two in steals, fourth in blocks. Of all those categories, which one means the most to you to see you in the statistical leaders?
I would say assists. I say all the time how much I like dishing the ball. It's exciting. It's one thing to score, but it's more exciting making a sweet pass to your teammate and pointing it to her. It's keeping the team in sync, you know, really unselfish basketball, and that's what I'm all about, really.
Well, we certainly know on this podcast, dishing and swishing, how important that dishing is. And we can't swish without the dish, right?
Agreed.
Well,
definitely.
You know, you first really exploded in people's consciousness when you had 36 points in the NCAA tournament. And then on top of that, you know, let's talk for a sec about USA basketball. How much fun was it playing on that World University Games team? And how did that help your game for this season?
It was so fun, you know, being amongst such good players and such great talent. Everybody's a leader on the team, so, you know, everybody's good. So you're looking for roles to figuring out where you can fit in and make a difference on the team. It was so much fun. It was no judgment, you know, just because I was a mid-major, they didn't treat me like a mid-major player. You know, if you were good, you were going to be in the game. And even off the court, you know, it was warmth and it was love. So I really enjoyed it.
Well, you know, you averaged 10.8 points in only 14 minutes. But, you know, you certainly especially made your mark in those last two games. You know, let's talk for a second about the semifinals and putting in that basket that won the game.
It was so huge for me. I don't think we came in the game arrogantly, but we knew for a fact that we haven't lost a game in not a game nor a scrimmage in about, I don't know how long, I don't even remember. I think it was 5 years or something like that. And so, you know, we were out there playing, and it got really tight to the point where, you know, we were down. And we were in the game, and before my winning basket, I went to the basket and drove to the lane, and I got fouled. And I was I shot a free throw, and I missed the second free throw. And, it was a timeout, and I was thinking to myself, okay, you know, we just got to get a stop. The offense is going to roll, and we got to stop. And it got to the offense. It got us back to offense. And I figured I was probably going to end up having to sit down. Like, they were probably going to sit me down for the last play. But they let me play. And the play was drawn up for, I believe, Kalina Lewis to score the go-ahead winning bucket. And Bria Hartley got the ball and couldn't get it to Kalina Lewis. And Kalina Lewis set me a really good pick that where I got open, and I drove to the lane. I wasn't thinking at all. Like, at this point, I just knew it was time to go. And I got to the lane and I did a Euro side step. And when I did my side step, I was so open. I just was like, I was too open and I missed the first layup. And so I had to rebound. I rebounded and I got it back and I put it back in the basket. And as soon as I got it on the second rebound, I was just thinking to myself, this is it. You know, you got to make this one. And I made it, and I just thought of all the people that I knew I would be making proud and thinking about how bigger this is than me. You know, I'm representing so much more. I'm representing the MAC, the all mid-majors, my family, you know, my coaches, everybody. And I just thought it was a great, humbling experience.
And then you went on and scored 16 in the finals and got that gold medal. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is history. But, you know, you mentioned the fact that Central Michigan and you're representing a lot of mid-majors. You know, I'll tell you, your team plays the toughest schedule of anybody that falls into that classification that I've seen, with games against Kentucky, Duke, Notre Dame, Purdue, Dayton, all this year. You know, it's no wonder that you guys are on top of your conference.
Uh-huh. Well, Coach wanted to see what we were all about. You know, we won the MAC last year, and that's one thing, but she wanted to test us, you know. She knew we wasn't going to win every single game. She knew we was going to lose, but, you know, you had those teams that play really weak teams or not as good teams in the regular non-conference, and then they get in the MAC, and they don't know how to lose together. You know, we – through the whole time, as we took losses, we lost together. We didn't fall apart. We tried to figure out why we were losing and what we could do to improve. So I definitely think that her making our schedule so tough was preparing us for the war that we're getting ready to face come March, which is the conference. So I think it was a good idea.
Well, it certainly played out that way. I mean, you guys finally suffered your first loss in conference to the Bowling Green on their court, who's had it leading the East. So this isn't, uh-huh. It's not like you guys got knocked off by somebody that's down at the bottom in the conference. I mean, it took the other top team in the conference to finally knock you guys off.
Right. Yeah, they have a win. We have a win. So playing them again is just going to be fun. It's always, you know, I give respect to Bowling Green. They're a tough team. I think they're going to be a top contender in the conference coming off here. But it's always tough to play at their house. I already know you got that open stadium that you're playing in the way it is. So it's definitely tough to play in Bowling Green. So, you know, we took an L at their house. They took an L at our house. So it's going to be fun and exciting to meet them on mutual ground and, you know, see the better team.
Now, you raised the stakes a little bit in one of the in-state rivals when you talked up the team about Eastern Michigan and playing defense. Now, you got to go to their house to end the season.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm sure they weren't real happy with you talking a little bit of smack about how you are not an Eastern Michigan fan. Let's put it that way.
Not at all. You know what I've seen, though? You know what it was? After doing that, they gave us our best shot, their best shot. And that's what I said. Give me your best shot. I want your best shot. So they gave us our best shot, and they contended with us, you know. So, and they lost by a few points. They didn't get blown out. They contended with us. So respect to them as well. So, but once again, you got to go in their house and pull one off. So, you know, I'm just excited to see what the team, you know, see if we ready and see if they're ready. You know, we know what their best shot is, and, you know, we have room for improvement. I'm sure they've made improvements as well.
Now, we talked a little bit about the schedule that you guys played at the start of the season, playing those tough out-of-conference games. Now, this is your team is looking like it's headed towards the NCAA tournament. You know, for years, you know, it was a while in between tournament appearances. Then you appear at the school, and there's two WNITs, and then last year the NCAAs. You know, you brought them back, helped bring them back up to prominence. So heading towards this year, you know, you're looking forward to, I'm sure, playing in the NCAA tournament against the best the rest of the country has and repping the mid-majors in that league.
I'm looking forward. I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, getting to the NCAA tournament. But we have to take it one step at a time because there's not a chance that we can, you know, the chances can go, they can vary. It's just unfortunate that, you know, being a good player in the mid-American, the mid-major, you could have 36 in the mid-major, but it won't get it blown up unless you're in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I'm not saving my A game for there. I'm playing every game like it's my last. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't know, we got to stay, you know, you want to think big, but at the same time, you don't want to forget the small things. Like, you don't want to forget that you still have to win in your conference to even get there, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, 7 times conference player of the week, you know, and now you're making it onto the watch lists, and you're one of the finalists for the Staley Award. What does that mean to you?
The Don Staley Award was huge. I thought that was so huge. First of all, I didn't even consider myself as a guard. I thought I was maybe a forward, but, you know, I'm really excited about that award. You know, even if I don't get it, being in that top guards there is an accomplishment in itself. You know, you get the award, of course you're accomplished, but, you know, to be in that pool with such good athletes is an accomplishment.
Well, as we head towards the postseason, what would you want anybody to know about Crystal Bradford and about Central Michigan as they were starting to prepare and look at those brackets and saying, where do I go with my picks?
What I would say about us is we're a mid-major school with a lot of heart, and we don't give up until it's 0-0-0. So if you're interested in seeing a good game with whoever we play, you know, that's where you just put us there. We won't give up, and we play hard. And if, for me, think of me as someone that works hard. If I'm having a bad field goal shooting percent, a bad field goal game, you will see me somewhere else on the stat line putting doing what I can, whether it's boards, assists, steals, always figuring out a way I could help my team.
2 triple-doubles this year. Top 5 in 5 different statistical categories. You know, there isn't too much statistically, you're right, that you're going to show up somewhere in the in that box score.
It's exciting. Those triple-doubles, you know, once again, being a mid-major, you're not going to get much TV time. But when you see a triple-double, you're going to say, oh, she was playing ball, you know. You're not going to see that. Even if I did have a bad shooting game, you're going to see that triple-double. You're going to see I was playing ball. And not only was I just playing ball, I was playing team ball. So I think that's important. I think that's, you know, with women's basketball, it's more of a team ball. It's more fundamental. And with men, it's more athletic and one-on-one. So when you have women ball playing at the best of its caliber, it's exciting. So I think I just want to keep it exciting, entertaining.
Last question for you. Now, you know, you had mentioned that you thought that there were times where Coach Cole might not play or whatever, but now you were a highly ranked player coming out of high school. You know, there was no question that you could play. Do you think, though, that going playing in a World University Games team with Mosqueda Lewis and the other, you know, big school stars showed everybody another level of what Crystal Bradford could do and what mid-major ball can do?
I think so. I think I don't think I surprised myself. I don't think I surprised the players that play with me all the time. I don't think I surprised my coaches. I think I surprised the people that definitely forgot about me and forgot about the little people. I think I surprised them, but my coaches were proud of me, and, you know, after every game they were just telling me that they knew I could do it, you know, like, I think I was proving things to the world, but to myself, I proved to myself just by being there, just by making it that far. You know, I didn't expect to even make it as far as I did, so I felt I've already proved what I need to prove to myself. And I think my expectations in myself is more important than what other people expect.
Well, Crystal, I want to thank you for taking some time with us today. There is no question that you got the game to back up the statistics. you know, on and off the court, you show that the mid-majors are something that definitely needs to be reckoned with at all times.
I think so. Thank you. Appreciate
it. Good luck the rest of the way. Take care now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.